Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
It's got sex appeal.
Your Saturday morning is sorted with former St Kilda champ Joey Montagna.
In a nutshell,
what is that?
It's rocket science.
Triple M footy newsbreaker Jay Clark.
Thanks for putting up with me.
And horse racing royalty Emma Friedman.
All I hear is, oh no.
Everything you need to kickstart your weekend. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Welcome to another edition of Dead Set Legends. Great to have you with us for a big morning of sport. And good morning to Joey and Jay on the bye week. Are we missing footy this weekend, guys?
We are a little bit, Emma. Good morning to you, Jay, Rosie. But today's a great opportunity, especially with this weather, to go watch some local footy.
Yes.
That's the day. Finals time, local footy. Take the kids, go down and watch some footy. I've got Heidelberg versus North Heidelberg.
Ooh.
A bit of a rivalry, my hood. The Harvey boys, Shane and Brent Harvey, be running around for North Heidelberg against a side that I had a lot of mates to play for at Heidelberg. So I'll probably get down to Preston, Cramer Street Oval this afternoon and
pretty
watch a bit of that.
Out there, isn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Like, you always sort of half maybe hope to see a bit of a little scuffle. But also hope to see some good footy. So that's probably my day this afternoon.
Oh, that sounds good. I caught a little bit of the EJ Witten game last night, gang, because I love the bye round. Yeah, it's just reconnect with your family, spend some time with your friends. But I did catch some of the EJ Witten game. Now, did Richo, did he miss that on purpose last night?
Oh, the you'd shanked, like to think not.
I don't think he did.
Did he? Do you reckon he just absolutely butchered it?
He literally shanked it.
Yeah. He didn't seem thrilled after it, did he?
No. I think he claimed he got water squirted on him as he went to kick it and might have put him off, but it's, wasn't pretty.
It was a fair old shank.
It wasn't the biggest crowd there, was there, last night, the EJ Witten game?
No.
Well, they were playing AFLX, as we know, and it was at Amy Park, so not at the traditional Marvel Stadium, which they've done the last however many years.
Yeah.
I watched a little bit of it too, and I can't say that I was riveted.
Yeah.
No, it's hard to watch. I agree.
Yeah.
A couple of tight jumpers.
Even for the real footy lovers, it was hard to watch.
Because we are footy lovers, this week is, you know, a little bit sad for people who do, you know, enjoy watching games week in, week out with the bye round, but it is award season. So a couple of the big awards this week. Patrick Cripps, the AFLPA Player of the Year, Coaches Player of the Year, Marcus Bontempelli, and rising star Sam Walsh. Your thoughts on those, boys?
Can't argue with any of them, can you? They've all had outstanding seasons, Sam Walsh in particular. I think Connor Rosie came second, runner-up. Any other year, Jay, he would have won the Rising Star, Connor Rosie.
Really?
Any other year, I just think he ran into a bloke that's had the best first year of any player that going back as far as we can remember. So it was an amazing year from Sam Walsh.
So what a call from Carlton. So at this time last year, we're talking about whether Carlton was going to give up its number one pick, which was Sam Walsh, for Dylan Scheel, who didn't make the All-Australian, got a 40 at Essendon. If you're having that choice right now, you take Walsh.
No brainer.
All day.
Absolutely take Walsh, yeah. Mm. Great call by Carlton.
The question mark I had over the AFL players' MVP voting, this is a bit weird, Joey. All the teams get to nominate three players.
From your own club
and
first, yep.
Yeah, so at Geelong, it was Tom Hawkins, Mark Blitzarves, Tim Kelly. So Paddy Dangerfield, who's a $2.50 favourite to win the Brownlow, another Brownlow medal, wasn't nominated by his own players. What would happen there? Did someone lose the
something
paperwork?
In that.
Or?
Either they don't really like Danger and said, we're not voting for him.
Which
can't be the case. Yeah. Or there's a little element of, look, Danger, you've won everything.
Yeah.
We know you're a star.
We want
to share the love and give some credit to other players. And that's what I sometimes think it is. They want to give credit to Tim Kelly, Blitzarves and Tom Hawkins. So Danger was the one that missed out. I'm sure Danger wouldn't have taken it personally, but he might have been a bit flat.
So when you were playing and you used to fill out this form, did you sort of not vote for players you didn't like?
When you were voting for the winner of the MVP?
Yeah. Like, was it a bit of a popularity?
Or you nominating players?
Yeah, no, when you're voting, it does come into it. Popularity does. I tipped Cripps would win it because I reckon Paddy Cripps is a bit of the player's champ. I think everyone loves Paddy Cripps. So if it was a toss-up between, you know, Fife, Bontempelli, et cetera, Cripps, and what they've all voted Cripps, which I can understand because the players, they watch footy, but they don't know it intimately. And in previous years, it's been easy to pick. Tom Mitchell was a runaway, Dusty Martin, Fife and Dangerfield previous years. This one was a bit of a, there's five players who could win it. I'm going to lean towards the bloke I love. That's Paddy Cripps.
Mm.
And you know what? Watching him being interviewed the other night, not only a champion on field, but you just have this feeling, you know, in 10, 15 years' time, he's going to be a media superstar as well. Like, he just has the gift of the gab.
Yep.
It's hard not to like.
Yeah, and he's got
Patrick
a real presence
Cripps
about him too, doesn't
he?
He's got a real bit of, I like him a
genuine
lot.
Genuine Ripper bloke, Cripper.
Yeah.
What a captain.
plenty of trade and injury news floating around, which has footy fans on the edge of their seats as to how the end of this year will pan out, but also 2020 because the implications are far-reaching. Jay-Z, let's start with Eddie Betts. Does he stay a Crow next year?
Massive story, what, over the last 36 hours, really, Eddie Betts. I think it sort of slapped us in the face when the report came out from Adelaide that Eddie Betts would be going to Carlton for 2020. However, Joey and Em, this was news to Carlton. They were totally shocked by the whole thing. They discussed him about 6 weeks ago from a list management committee perspective and basically said, oh, no, we're not going to go down that path. So they're all about the youth and the rebuild, and he's 32. So, look, this could still happen. However, Eddie would have to play for almost nothing. So come over on a cheap deal, or Adelaide would have to pay the bulk of his deal. I think he's on still 500 a year or thereabouts. And he would just have to be prepared to be able to play VFL. He'd have to be a real team guy, you know, help nurture the young guys. So I still think this is a real long shot, Joey.
So where do you think Eddie Betts will play his footy next year?
I think it's still more likely that he plays at Adelaide, to be honest, unless Adelaide are going to pay out his contract and just say, well, we'll release you and you can go anywhere. Right. So then he becomes maybe a good pickup for a team in the window. But Carl, is it fit with Carlton, Joey, in your view?
Yeah, I love the romanticism of it. I'd love to see Eddie Betts back at Carlton because there's a lot of love both ways from Eddie and the fans. But you're right, Carlton have gone through this process of rebuilding, playing kids, getting games into them. They've got players coming back. I think they've got to continue with the young talent they've got.
1 year from Eddie, I don't know.
They're not going to win a premiership next year, Carlton, so there's no need to have Eddie Betts next year.
The man the Blues want is Tom Patley from Sydney. He's contracted, however. He's a gun forward pocket. Also, Sam Gray from Port Adelaide looking for more opportunities. So I think more likely Sam Gray than Eddie Betts at this stage.
Another romantic story from an Adelaide player going back to their original club. Could Paddy Ryder be back to the Dons?
I still think it's St Kilda for Paddy Ryder. I think Essendon officials and Paddy Ryder had a good chat last year to thrash out
last week,
Joey. Because look, this is an emotional one for Paddy Ryder. I mean, he left the Bombers in 2014 amid the supplement scandal. I mean, he said himself that he was fearing for his son's future, with some of that health after effects of the whole supplement saga. That has been put to bed, and Essendon are saying absolutely emphatically, there is no bad blood. Come home, Paddy. You know, it can be all kosher, because they do need some ruck support. But I think it is much more likely that he will be playing for St Kilda next year, help supporting Rowan Marshall. You've said before you like that move, Joey.
I don't mind that. Yep. Yeah, I reckon you've got 2 years in Paddy Ryder. He can play forward and play ruck, so they can work together with Rowan Marshall. What would you give up for Paddy Ryder if you're St Kilda? What sort of draft pick? Third round?
Fifth round.
Yeah. So you basically just got to pay him.
Well, he's leaving. He's uncontracted.
Yeah, okay.
Pick 104.
Right, okay, there you go.
That's what I give up for him.
So he'll be at St Kilda.
He's gone.
I like it.
Yep.
Let's get into some injury news that will affect the finals starting in only 5 days' time. Darcy Moore in this hamstring. Is he going to line up come Friday night or is he out for the entire finals period? Like, what's the go there?
No, lock him in. He's going to be playing centre-half back against Geelong on Friday night. He trained really well last night. So that's been key. He had to train strongly this week, build up that confidence in his body because, as Collingwood has said, when they did the scans of his hamstring issue, nothing appeared.
Right.
Like, not even soreness. So I think this is probably more of a mental thing.
Yeah, and that can happen, especially when you have history of injuries. You can have that mental, you feel something and you think, oh no, and you can have that happen. We've had players at the club in the past that have had that happen too, that get quite paranoid about their injuries and think they've done something when they haven't. So fingers crossed he's mentally, you know, in good shape that he can just let himself go and let it rip out there on Friday night.
Yeah, they'll have another strong training week this week. I think his first session will be a big one, and then he'll lighten it off towards the back week they play on Friday night. But he's so important because he intercepts and rebounds. So he's a gun, Darcy Moore.
Thursday night, two big players also who have to prove their fitness. Michael Hurley for Essendon, but also Nick Natanui. We hear that he's trained really strongly this week and he could be back for West Coast.
Yeah, had a solid 2-hour hit out yesterday in Perth and absolutely flew, the Perth Spies are saying. So I'm expecting Nick Nat to play. And what a great story, because we thought with his knee and then his ankle that he was done for the year, but he's back and he's going to be a huge weapon because he comes up against Tommy Bell Chambers, who sort of got a nice
old
touch-up.
Let's be honest, plotted in that game that he came back, Tommy Bell Chambers.
Got touched out from Brady Grundy a fortnight fortnight ago. So, look, there's a real opportunity for West Coast. You'd expect them to win that. Michael Hurley with that sore shoulder, Em, you mentioned, think he will play and be pretty brave, I reckon. He's still going to be quite sore with that shoulder, but expect Michael Hurley to play. I think that's going to be a win for West Coast. But we'll thrash out the finals, the upcoming finals over the course of the next hour and a half, Joey.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Let's get into some finals analysis because starting on Thursday night, we are into the 2019 finals series. Let's begin, though, with the first qualifying final, Geelong taking on Collingwood on Friday night at the MCG. Joey?
Yes.
How do you see this one
This is the
out?
Biggest game of the four finals because, Jay, and I'm going to put it out there now, the winner of this game, I believe, Geelong-Collingwood, will end up playing in the grand final.
Wow.
The loser will go out in straight sets.
How do you work that out?
Because whoever loses out of Collingwood Geelong will most likely face West Coast in the second week of finals at the MCG.
Yep.
But I'm still very bullish on the West Coast Eagles. They are a team that's ready-made for finals. Nick Nat will be back, like we've touched on. If Collingwood or Geelong drop this game Friday night, I think they'll bow out in straight sets and lose to West Coast. The winner will most likely face Brisbane in a prelim in Melbourne. So that is, I think, a nice path to get into a grand final. So this is huge, this game on Friday night.
I like it, Joey.
And really, the keys are, I think, for Collingwood to try and win. So the way I see it...
And we have to start with it. You've already written Collingwood off. So you've had doubts on them.
Yeah, I've had doubts on Collingwood all year because they haven't played their best football.
Yep.
Do you agree with that?
They've been patchy.
Yep. I don't think we've seen Collingwood play their best football for nearly the whole season.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair.
Geelong, on the other hand, have played a lot of good footy this year. Now, we know after the bye, they've been a little bit up and down, but I think that was more to do with the mental side of it, that these older players, Dangerfield, Ablett, Selwood, Taylor Hawkins, etc., they just took the foot off the gas a little bit because they know they've got bigger fish to fry in this final series, and it's so important for them, for their reputations, that they have a big final series. Collingwood, I don't think you can just necessarily turn it on and play your best football in finals. You've got to have done it throughout the year. Now, Stevenson and DeGoey will be back and they're going to have the X factors. For Collingwood to win it, they need to rely on their talent to do something remarkable. They need Grundy to absolutely dominate Reece Stanley give themselves a, which he could.
Yep.
They need Stevenson or DeGoey to kick five and almost win the game, which they could do.
Yep.
But when you're tipping, I think you've got to go with what you've seen for the majority of the year. And that's a Geelong team that have played a lot of strong footy for the majority of the year, really sound defensively, got match winners, got an even team. And as much as I want to see Collingwood turn it on, I just think if you went with a safer bet, I think Geelong will beat Collingwood Friday night.
Interesting, Joey, especially that you think that this could basically determine who plays in one side of that grand final, which is massive stakes.
Yep.
But what about the discussion around Geelong and, you know, not being able to win after the bye?
Yeah.
Like they haven't won back since 2011 or something, you know, thereabouts. You know, also at the MCG, there's still a question mark. What's Chris Scott? 3 wins out of 11 games in finals at the MCG.
Yep.
Does that count for anything psychologically? You know, have you still got that question mark on them, you know, from that? Or is it just sort of a bit fluky, this bye thing?
It's a hard one to answer. Like, you're right. You can't ignore the stat that they haven't won off the bye since 2011. Like, is that something significant or is it just a coincidence? I don't know that answer. Yeah. I don't know. But I'm not going to factor that in necessarily in this game. And the MCG, you're right, it is a bit of an issue because Geelong are so used to defending a skinnier GMHBA stadium. So they are like that. But I just think that Geelong should get the job done. The biggest issue as well for Collingwood, you got to get the ball to ground in your front half. You can't allow Geelong's intercept players like Stewart and Blitzarves and Harry Taylor to intercept mark. If they intercept mark, they then build up their kick game and they can really hurt you. If Collingwood, without basically only Brody Mychek as their key forward, if they can get the ball to ground, Geelong don't have really good ground-level defenders.
Yep.
Besides Jed Buse, they're a bit vulnerable. So Stevenson, DeGoey, Elliott, Josh Thomas can cause some havoc if they can get the ball to ground.
Okay, on Thursday night, the final series kicks off with the Eagles hosting Essendon in the West at 6 o'clock their time, 8:10 our time on the East Coast. It sounds like you've just written off my Bombers. I'm a bit sad about that, even though we've got some great key ins. Do you just see West Coast thumping this one in?
I think this is probably the easiest of the four games to tip, isn't it, Jay? I think with Nick Nat back, I'm going to write off that last game for West Coast as an anomaly. That was just, they were horrible against Hawthorn. You can scrap that. Every team has had a couple of games this year where they've been just completely outplayed. So I'm going to write that off. West Coast at home, Nick Nat back, a team that's got self-belief. They know what they need to do. They've got a strong system. I think they should win. It's pretty obvious with Essendon, and we've seen them, Jay, at their best. We know how Essendon are going to beat you. If you let them bring the ball back into the corridor, off half-back, get quick. McKenna and Saad and McGrath and these guys run and overlap, they can hurt you and get goals out the back.
Yep.
West Coast are going to have 2 weeks to train that, prepare for it. Stop that, take that away from Essendon, and then I think West Coast should win the game pretty comfortably.
And you think they're going to be pretty vulnerable in the ruck, as you mentioned. Like, Tommy Bell Chambers wasn't great a couple of weeks ago. Zach Clark's fractured his leg, so they're down to one ruckman again, Essendon. And Nick Nat's going to have some spring in his step because he'll be wanting to prove a point, so they're going to get silver service out of that middle. Yeah. So I'm with
And
you,
in finals Chambers. Footy, it's the big midfielders. So if you think about Essendon's midfield, they're a bit smaller, you know, with Scheel and Parrish and, you know, even Dyson Heppel and aren't the biggest body. That's why Jake Stringer, they try and get in there because he's a big body.
Yep.
You look at West Coast midfielders, Shuey, Sheed, Redden, Yo, they're all big bodies. They're made for finals footy, and I just think they'll have too much of an edge in most parts of the game.
I think one man I do have enormous respect for, the Essendon captain, Heppel.
Yeah.
Dyson Heppel. He's played on one leg for the past couple of months. He's facing surgery on that foot. So courageous of the skipper. I think more details will come out in the next couple of weeks, but he is gritting his teeth through pain to play out there. Great courage, really, from the skipper.
So Joey's tips for the first two finals, the Eagles to win by a margin over Essendon and then the Cats to beat Collingwood,
in an absolute
correct?
Beauty, a close one. The Cats by 7 points, West Coast by 33.
The Dead Set Legends, Saturday scoreboard.
Yes, in cricket, Jay, the Aussies are playing Derbyshire in a tour match. A few of the boys have made some runs. Mitch Marsh made 74. Usman Khawaja made 72. Marcus Harris made 64. Mitch Stark has taken a few wickets with the ball too. You expect Stark to play at any stage in this series, or do you reckon he's missed his chance?
No, I don't think he's going to get a look in, is he?
I mean, he'll play.
Hazelwood's been
he's not going
outstanding.
Anywhere.
Pato's an absolute weapon. Cummins, terrific.
Yep. And Siddle's the stiff one. If they change it up, Siddle comes back in. So he might miss out Mitchell Stark, but the Aussies getting in a bit of form. And some other news too, Emma. Jimmy Anderson has been ruled out for the rest of the Ashes series with his calf injury. So I think that's good news for the Aussies. But in saying that, I reckon Joffre Archer wouldn't get dropped anyway now, the way that he's bowling.
Oh, God, no.
He's
not at all.
Looking like the most venomous fast bowler in the world right now, isn't he?
Yeah, be interesting to see, too, how Steve Smith responds when he faces him in the next test. NRL news, you wouldn't believe it. Cam Smith breaks the NRL games record this afternoon.
Joking?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Oh, my goodness.
When the
gracious.
Storm take on Manly this afternoon at 5:30. And the US Open, that snuck up on a few people. The tennis. And our Aussies are actually doing really well. Ash Barty, she's moved through to the fourth round and will face a Chinese opponent, and I think she's on a collision course to meet Serena in the quarterfinals too. So that'll be another beauty. Yeah. So our Ash Barty doing wonderful things.
Does Serena know who Ash Barty is yet?
I'm sure she does by now.
She worked that out?
Yeah, she'll show her more respect this time around. Alex Diminor, he had his biggest win of his career. He defeated Kai Nishikori, the Japanese star, to advance to the fourth round as well. So the Demon is doing great things. And a couple of our youngsters, Alex Popperin and Nick Kyrgios, play tomorrow to go through to the fourth round as well. So plenty of news in the tennis.
Kyrgios could do anything at the moment, couldn't
he? Who knows what Kyrgios is going to do? He could win this tournament.
The mood he is in, like literally, he is just must watch. He's the most watchable athlete on the planet at the moment, I reckon. You don't have to agree with him, you don't have to love him, but everyone's watching him.
What was your thoughts on the slogan on the back of the collar earlier in the week? Just do you instead of just do it.
Just wants to be himself, Dick.
Yeah.
Coming up, we're going to have a chat to trainer David Hayes. He's going to join us ahead of a massive spring carnival. Do you reckon he can find us a winner?
He better. We're hoping.
How did your tips go last week? Did you tip any last week?
We didn't do a tip last week. Ran out of time.
No, we ran out of time. But you sent us some tips, Jay.
Yeah.
And look, they were not great, I got to admit.
Oh, really?
We'll get one off Dave. Don't worry, we'll get Hayes to give us a tip.
Was drained post Saturday last week. Well, might have to reload.
They weren't my tips.
Gamble responsibly. Listening to Triple M's Dead Set Legends. The 2019 Spring Carnival was launched this week in style as we head towards the big events in only a few weeks' time. And someone who will have a major hand to play is trainer David Hayes, who joins us now. Hazy, spring is literally just around the corner.
Yeah, and at last we've got a nice sunny day, so looking forward to it.
How's the stable shaping up? I mean, we've just been through winter. Things are a little bit quieter during those colder months, but you've got a good hand today in the Memsey Stakes, and looking forward, seems like the stable's heating up.
Yeah, it is a bit. The Memsey's $1 million now, and I've got a tricky horse called Sosie Bon in it, who won his last start, and Fundamentalist, who's a proven Group 1 performer, but not winner. So I sort of like her each way.
David, what horses have you got in the stable that we can keep an eye on throughout the spring that you're most excited about? Who are a couple that we should keep an eye on as the spring
goes
on?
From the Melbourne Cup point of view, a French horse called Neuf Bosque and another horse called Rostropovich. And they're all starting to run in the next couple of weeks. They're probably the stable's best chance in the Melbourne Cup.
Speaking of the Melbourne Cup, David, the last couple of years we've seen those international raiders, you know, like Cross Counter and Rekindling, those lightweights, you know, taking on the big guns and taking away the chocolates. How do you see the Cup kind of panning out this year and into the future? Is that going to be the trajectory again?
Look, it goes through, phases, I think. And at just the last couple of years, it looks like it's advantage 3-year-olds. But I think that'll change. It's just a cycle. You know, it's like a football club winning a couple of premierships in 10 years. They can't make the eight. You know, that happens. So I can't really see a trend for this season. I know one thing, the Wait for Age races will be a lot more interesting. Winx was my best horse I've ever seen, but gee, I was pleased she got retired.
I think you're right. In terms of footy, though, there's another story that Jay... you know, David's a part of as well.
Yeah, well, the young bloke clearly at the Bulldogs. Dave, I understand that you get down there a lot. You're a keen Bulldogs supporter. How's the young bloke going?
Yeah, he's ticking along well. He's played the last three games in the AFL and they've been winning by big margins. And he's in the mix to get a game in the first final. So it's his first season playing AFL. And to be even in the mix is, I think, a great effort. So... I've watched him a lot in the VFL over the last 4 or 5 years, and it's great to see him achieve his dream.
Will you go up to the final?
If he's in the side, I reckon I'll have Ben and Tom at the races, and I'll be at football.
yeah, that's awesome. Now, David, the big question, though, and this is the one that everyone wants to know, this spring, if you had the choice to train the Melbourne Cup winner or watch your son Will win the flag, and you had to choose one, what would you take this spring?
Oh, Jesus, a nasty.
Was that Prue in the background laughing at you?
That's my wife with a dagger out. But look, I love him dearly, but I think the Melbourne Cup.
Oh, dear me.
Like it. Oh, brutal.
Poor Will.
But, look, very, very close, very hard. Let's, my wife's just about to... look, I don't miss many of his games, but if you put me right on the line, I think that'd be better than his match payments.
Yeah. Yeah. Smart, Dave.
You're quite very good. The sporting family at the moment. You know, you've got Will playing in the AFL, your other son's in the VFL, and then you've got, you know, Ben, who you're working with as well. What's it like working with your son day in, day out?
Oh, look, I have moments of crankiness, but on the whole, we really enjoy it. It's sort of, we say, a family that works together, sticks together. So JD's working full-time for me as well. And Ben's my partner training, and I train with my nephew. So we're a pretty tight-knit group, and we love our wins and feel our losses together. So it's good.
Yeah, that's awesome, David. And before we let you go, we have to ask you, we need a winner today, please. Can you steer us into something this afternoon that we can just put $10 on and pay for lunch?
Yes, I'll pick you a three-year-old gelding called Piedra, who's heading towards the Guinea. So if he doesn't win today, he'll be winning soon.
Okay, that's race five, number five. See that? Piedra. Beautiful.
I think he's got a really bright future.
Okay, that's really easy to remember. Thanks for joining us, David, and good luck for the start of the spring. Hopefully we'll catch up when those majors roll around.
Yep, and hopefully I'll be at the MCG before you know it.
Absolutely, yeah.
I feel like David's going to change his tune on the answer to that question pretty quickly with his wife in the background. Trainer David Hayes there.
All right. The Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Got a big second hour coming up, including Collingwood netball star April Branley ahead of their semi-final against the Vixens tomorrow. But before the 11 o'clock news, we had trainer David Hayes on. And Joey, you asked him, you know, in the next couple of months, what would you love to see more? Or what would you like to achieve more? Having a Melbourne Cup winner or watching his son Will Hayes win a premiership with the Bulldogs? And we all thought, I mean...
That was a good pick one, wasn't it? Normally
it was
that's Jay's domain. That was a good pick one.
think naturally you'd go your son winning a premiership because it'd be very difficult to do. And Hazy's already won a Melbourne Cup, but he chose the second Melbourne Cup and the pick one.
Well, I was surprised. I thought for sure he'd say he wanted to watch his son win a premiership over a Melbourne Cup winner, but no. And he had his wife in the background not happy, but he said, no, I think I'd rather train the winner of the Melbourne Cup.
Yep.
So it was interesting. But then...
Yeah, and then your phone went off.
Well, my phone did go off, and my dad just sent me a text, and he chimed in. So good to hear Dad's listening to the show. He said, I agree with David Hayes. I'd rather own a Melbourne Cup winner than watch you win a premiership. So thanks for that, Dad. Guess what? You're going to get neither. You didn't watch your son win a flag, and you're not going to have a Melbourne Cup winner. So stick that one.
Oh, Mr. God. Montana, that's so mean of you.
Yeah. Speaking of tough choices, I like to do the pick one every week where we give you guys a tough call, and we haven't spoken about this one yet today, Joey. So I just want a definitive answer. You can actually have some time to stew on this one because we'll put it on our Triple M socials. Have your say on this. Would you rather in your back line, Richmond's Dylan Grimes or Richmond's Nick Vlosten? Who would you prefer? If you could only pick one player, I saw Nick Vlosten was best on, absolutely dominated in the round 23 win over Brisbane. We saw Grimes get picked, all Australian, tough one-on-one defender. Who would you rather? And do you need time on this? Or
we will wait, but I think for the first time, I might go against the people's popular opinion.
Oh, really?
I've got a gut feel that I might be different on this to what most people think. I've been spot on, haven't I, mate? All the fans
have
agreed with me on most of them.
I've been spot on.
I reckon, though, this one, the fans might not agree.
Okay.
I have a feeling, I know what you're going to do, because one of those guys is all Australian and one wasn't, which was, controversial for
not
some.
Not even the squad.
We are so pumped for finals football. We've already previewed the first two games earlier in the show. If you want to go and check that out, you can go to the Triple M app to get Joey's thoughts on the Eagles hosting the Bombers and then the Cats hosting Collingwood in that first qualifying final. But let's get into the Saturday of football. Joey, is it fair to say that you have a big call for the Giants taking on the Bulldogs on Saturday afternoon?
This is the big call. Big call, Jay, because...
It's going to be big.
The bye...
Better be big.
Since the bye's come in off leading up to the finals, it's thrown a few little curveballs, and it's always been interesting to see how teams have utilised it, whether it's worked. The Bulldogs, it worked for them in 2016, didn't it? They're getting those players
crucial.
Back. For other teams, like Geelong, they've actually really struggled with the bye. I think this could be the making of the GWS Giants, this bye.
What?
And hear me out. In the last month, so since round 20...
Yep.
14 of their best 22 players have missed a game in that last month.
Two-thirds of the side.
Two-thirds
That's
of the
amazing.
Side. We know Cameron missed a game. Himmelberg and Finlayson have missed. Toby Green missed the last round. De Boer and Josh Kelly have missed a lot of footy. I can go on. Everyone is now fit and available for the Giants. So besides Callum Ward and Steve Cornelio, who are the long-termers, they will have almost their best side going into this finals.
At home.
At home. And what have we always said about the GWS Giants?
Well, if it clicks.
If they get their best team on the park.
Yep.
And it clicks. We know how hard they are to stop.
Yep.
I've just got a gut feel, and it's more of a gut feel, that this team are going to utilise this 2 weeks training workload into these players that have had a bit of an interrupted sort of last month or long period of footy. Josh Kelly played a couple of games back. Matt DeBoer, who has become so crucial, played a couple of games back. Mumford fit. The three tall forwards fit. Their back line, Phil Davis, Sam Taylor and Aiden Corr, is all fit and healthy. I'm just thinking the Giants can win this one. And on top of that, who didn't want the bye out of any of the eight teams going into the finals?
Bulldogs.
The Bulldogs.
Because they had the momentum.
Because they were humming. They have been flying, the Bulldogs. They're playing great footy. They've got no injuries. They wanted this season to keep rolling. So
I'm staggered, Joey.
Could the break actually hinder the Bulldogs and really help the Giants, and the Giants will cause an upset?
In reverse to what happened in 2016. Yep. I'm staggered because you were so hot on the Bulldogs.
Love the Dogs.
You were an early mover on them. You said Dunkley, McRae, Bontempelli, and they've done exactly what you had.
Yep.
So I'm staggered that you've jumped off at them right at this late stage.
I have been bullish on the Dogs all year. I love their list. I love the direction of this playing group. But just looking at this specific game, I think they've just come to a roadblock.
So where do they fall down? When the game is played out, where does GWS maximise their advantage?
Their ball use, and they're making Bulldogs defend. So we know the Dogs are going to get the footy and they're going to flick it around by hands, and the Dogs' scoring has been awesome. But I just think the Giants at home and their ball use and everyone fit and firing will just kick a bigger score than the Western Bulldogs, and this is the game that I think the Giants will upset the Dogs.
Ooh.
call.
Oh, it is a big call. It is a big call for the Giants to make it through to the second week of finals. The Lions host Richmond in that second qualifying final on Saturday night. Do you think this will be a tighter affair? Yeah. Up at the Gabba?
Yes, it will be tighter. I don't think the home ground advantage, Jay, is going to be enough, though, for the Brisbane Lions to make up about a 5-goal difference from what we saw when they played last week. Yep. Now, I think Richmond are a 4 or 5 better goal side. They kept Brisbane at arm's length, really, for the whole game. I know Brisbane had a little bit of a fight back, but really, Richmond were in control for the whole game. I still think that's the case. I think Richmond are a better team, more class, more experience in finals. They play a system that works for them. Yes, the home ground advantage will help Brisbane. I don't think it'll bridge a 5-goal margin, and I can see Richmond winning this one by a couple of goals. A
couple of interesting matchups here because Dimmer let Lachie Neale go at the weekend. I think Trent Cotchin spent some time on him in his first game back from another hamstring injury. Do you think, whether it's Graham, maybe the hard nut plays a tighter role on Lachie Neale to choke him around the stoppages? Because he had, what, 51 and 14 clearances last week. That's too many.
I don't think Richmond will go a full tag, but I think they'll put more work in him around the clearances and limit his clearances. Gut them in half. Give him 6 or 7 clearances, not 14. That's all they'll need to do. We saw what Dylan Grimes was able to do to Charlie Cameron. Yeah. Now, Charlie Cameron is going to have to be their match winner for Brisbane. We know he's the one that'll kick the goals.
So does that play on his mind?
Yeah.
So Charlie Cameron, having get stitched up last week,
would
he be thinking, would he be a bit nervous about having to come up against the same bloke who absolutely shut him down?
Probably. Well, I think you've got to know the character of the person. So Charlie Cameron seems like someone who'd be pretty confident in his own ability, and he'll have gone to work on him. But I think Dylan Grimes has got a pretty good handle on how to play on these smalls. I can see him shutting him down, and Richmond's style of footy, I think they're just too good. They're the premiership favourites of mine, and I think they'll beat Brisbane.
Okay, so after going through all of those four games, I mean, I know there's twists and turns to happen, but an early prediction as to how the grand final will look, Joey, your two teams who will do battle at the end.
I think the way that it'll pan out, looking at how I've gone about it, I think Richmond and Geelong will end up playing in the grand final.
Which
that's what I've looked at, because I think Geelong will beat Collingwood, as I said earlier, in the first final. Richmond will get through to a prelim. I think West Coast will end up playing Richmond in a prelim at the MCG, and you've got to go to Richmond, and then I think Geelong will play Brisbane in a prelim in Melbourne, and you've got to go to the Cats. So I think Richmond Geelong grand final for me.
I did the same thing, and I got Collingwood Richmond.
You've got Collingwood beating Geelong this Friday night.
Yeah, so I'm with you. Yeah. That game on Friday night, it's going to be an absolute blockbuster, 90K. Absolutely massive.
Yep. Well, we're into the semi-finals of the Suncorp Super Netball, and just like their AFL counterparts, the Collingwood Magpies are right in it. Pies and Australian defender April Brownlee joins us now. Congratulations on getting into the business end of the season, April. How are you feeling about the semi-final clash with the Vixens tomorrow?
Hey guys, really good. Super pumped for the game tomorrow. Obviously, we played them again last week and we had a big win. But, you know, coming into finals, you never know what's going to happen. So it's going to be a big one this Sunday.
Yeah, it should be an absolute belter. Tickets still available for this game as well. So get along. Now, April, fair to say that the Vixens got a star-studded lineup, but they've lost their last three. Now, all pressure on the other mob, don't you reckon?
Ooh, that's nice. I like that. they're going to be tough to beat. You know, finals, it's a whole different ball game. Everything's on the line. So they'll be hurting after, you know, losing by 10 or 11 last week. So I'm sure we're going to see a different kind of game come Sunday.
Of course, conversely, April, you've won your last three to make it into the finals. But I want to touch on a bit of the adversity your team's had to face this year with obviously two of your stars, Maddie Brown, we know about her knee, and Kelsey doing her knee, but also your coach recently losing his mother and having a bit of time off for personal leave. Do you think that emotion can galvanise this group and take you all the way?
Yeah, absolutely. We've definitely had our fair share this year, obviously, with both Maddie and Kelsey's sisters going down with ACLs, which is devastating. And then obviously, Rob, our coach, losing his mum. It's been a really tough, couple of months. But I think, like you said, you know, the tough times bring out the best in everyone, and I think that's really kind of brought us together and gave us a greater purpose to play for, which has been cool.
April, you've had a huge year, clearly. The devastating is 1-goal loss to the Silver Ferns in the World Cup final.
Jay, you're so mean bringing that up. Poor April's going to hear you talk about it. What are you doing?
Saturday morning.
I'm sorry, but you were outstanding, I thought, in that game. So well played to yourself. But look, you know, Joey here and a lot of the AFL players, they do a lot of whinging about their various schedules going into state. They play, God forbid, they've got to go for one game in China once a year. But how about your schedule? World Cup in July, what did you play? 8 games in 10 days and then flew back to Australia and then played Super Netball, 6 or 7 days later? That is a massive workload. You must have been knackered.
I know, it's so crazy to actually think back that we actually did that. But yeah, I think it's all a bit of a blur. Like, the first game back, I think I was so jet lagged, I didn't even remember. I think we got pumped by Giants. But anyway, yeah, it's been a big few months. It's been a big, actually, year. So I've made, I guess, to be in finals now, it's a bit of a reset. And pretty excited to actually be here. Like, you know, we didn't really know at the start of the year where we were going to end up on the ladder. And we had a really big win last weekend, which galvanised that fourth place for us. So we're just trying to ride the wave and see how we go.
Well, you should be excited. Just like the AFL side, you know, in the Collingwood house, you're playing finals. Is there any connection with those guys when it gets to this business time of the season? Do you share resources or any inspirational chats or anything?
Oh, my God, get some inspo around the place. It's pretty cool, like, environment to be around. Everyone's sharing good vibes. Like, we all use the training facilities and the gym and the pool, so there is good vibes going around. And, you know, we get to most games as we can of theirs, and same with them and ours. So, yeah, it's a pretty good place to work in, if you could call it work.
and speaking of the AFL side, and obviously the men, it's the name that a lot of people would know, Ash Brazel, who also plays for the Magpies in the AFLW. She's an unbelievable athlete. She's going to be crucial for you girls to try and win this weekend playing in the centres.
Absolutely. She's a freak, man. That girl can jump so high. We just put her in the pocket and she's up there. Yeah, she's a crucial part. I think we've had a bit of a change up having her in the centre, and it just gives us that little bit of versatility within our lineup and get them thinking about something else, which is, she's a big thing to think about in the centre. So, yeah, she's very, you know, important for us to get a win.
We're speaking to April Brownlee, of course. A massive game, Super Netball Final tomorrow at the State Netball Hockey Centre. Tickets still available, so get one. Just quickly, finally, on the setup there, of course, with the Collingwood players. Who needs to be dobbed in there of the boys, the Magpies? Who's the friendliest? Who's always happy to help you out? And who really needs to be dobbed in for something? Anyone?
Well, I'm just waiting while I'm waiting on the phone to you. I heard some Taylor Adams was doing some beautiful singing in the kitchen. So singing, serenading. Didn't think that anyone was around. I got him. He's not a bad voice,
very
actually.
Good. What was he singing? So,
I have no idea, actually.
Couldn't decipher the lyrics. Oh, April, it's been a joy to have you on our show. We wish you the best of luck with the final series, and hopefully you can get a win over the Vixens tomorrow.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Good luck, April
Brownlee from the Collingwood netball team there. And as you mentioned, Jay, tickets still available at tickertech.com.au.
Especially with no footy this weekend. Great opportunity to take the kids and go watch some high-class athletes do their stuff.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Now, 25 weeks or so ago, we all sat down full of anticipation of the season ahead and made some outlandish but very confident predictions as to how the season would pan out. Minor premiers, wooden spoon, common medalist, Brownlow, rising star. Overall, how do you think you boys went there?
Well, I remember Joey thinking that he nailed it. I remember going back to that show, he walked out of here and he thought, yeah.
Strutting
really,
out.
Oh, yeah, big strut on that. My analysis is right on form. But
I put a lot of faith in one club was the key. And fair to say, I don't think it panned out well.
No. Let's begin with you, Jay. Yep. This was your prediction as to who would win the common medal.
Okay. And I think Tom Lynch, we will see the best of him. He will win the Coleman medal. Not bad. I think he finished, third? Kicked 50-odd goals or thereabouts. Yep. Come good late in the second half of the season. He's always going to start slow, Joe, because you had a bit of a knock on Lynch.
Yeah.
You thought we'd sort of
overrated
into
him
the
a little bit. I thought everyone
thing.
fell in love with Tom Lynch and overrated him a little bit, saying he was going to be the best player in the competition. You were going to say he was going to win the Coleman, and I was a bit like, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
This bloke's been around. Yeah, but in the end,
big pass.
He's a very good player, and had a very good season.
Joey, this was your these were your thoughts on Jordan DeGoey and how his season would pan out.
Jordan DeGoey in that forward line, who I think by the end of the year will be sitting alongside Dustin Martin, Fife and Dangerfield as one of the top five forward mids in the competition. That's wrong. That's wrong, isn't
really?
It?
What are you talking about?
You're bang on.
He is.
DeGoey?
Yeah.
He hasn't had that good a year.
Oh, come on, mate.
No, I'm disappointed with that. I was expecting bigger things from DeGoey.
Oh, really?
Well, he's not even in the All-Australian
tough
squad.
Yeah.
I was saying he'd be like one of the top 5 or 10 players in the competition.
He had the leg issues.
Well, that's exactly right.
When he has played early in the season, he looked like a superstar.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yes.
Well, what's he got to work on?
He just needs to get that continuity. To play week in, week out and do what the guys, like I just said, Fife, Martin, Dangerfield, he's able to get 20, 25 touches on ball, but also kick his three goals and play more forward. No, I don't think that's quite right. I think he's still got another level to go to.
This is what both of you were looking forward to seeing for the 2019 season.
Geelong playing a modern game plan. Now, we know the talent the Cats have got is excellent, but they haven't been playing with that elite forward pressure that the rest of the competition is doing. So Chris Scott has totally changed his way. His whole game plan is going to be revolving around Dalhouse, Rowan, Tommy Atkins.
I'm looking forward to seeing Nat Fyfe, the best player in the comp, fully fit and in full flight, dominate the competition.
The number one
That's
player,
what gets people out of their
Come
seats,
on,
not
get
Geelong's
excited.
Forward pressure. Well, look at Jay patting himself on the back. You absolutely nailed that one. Pre-season, you said they'll change the way they play. Yeah. They'll have forward pressure.
Yeah.
And Chris Scott will turn this side around. And you have nailed it.
Yeah. You know when you just strike it sweetly off the tee and it just goes so far.
You're very happy.
And we all be caught on Nat Fyfe.
Now I think about it, that was a pretty lame call. That Nat Fyfe, if he played a full year, he'd be the best player in the comp. It's like, whoopee-doo.
Captain Joey, obvious style.
Finally, Jay, this was your prediction as to what would be the best story of the season.
Mad Jack Dorr, when this guy pulls his boots back on and plays a competitive match, it will be the greatest story of the season.
And it was.
Yeah, not pretty badly. Close. Yeah.
Yep.
I only think it would have been lovely to see him be able to get on the AFL field.
Yep.
He might have got the chance late in the year except for injury, but great story.
And congratulations to Magic and his partner, a little baby boy born during the week for them. So
awesome.
Lovely news. Let's kick this break off with your thoughts, Joey and Jay, on the Gold Coast.
When the Gold Coast Suns cause a massive upset and beat one of the top teams,
it will happen. They'll win less than three games this year. But do you want to
less than
on that?
Yeah. So they'll win
two games.
They won three.
We were both sort of right because early in the year I thought that they were flying and you thought they were oops, I might have got this one wrong, but then you proved right because they lost 18 straight.
Joey, your thoughts on the 666 rule?
The first time a team is up by 3 points with a minute to go, they can't flood their defence. The commentary
call,
around
Joey.
It, what happens? Does a team kick off? So that'll be fun. The first time there's a team up by 3 points with a minute to go, watching the whole reaction to the crowd and whether the team kicks a goal. So looking forward to that. Saw that a couple of times this year. Melbourne on the Gold Coast stood out as that game and a few others. So that did happen.
And finally, Jay, your thoughts on who might score Mark of the Century?
Liam Ryan, the high-flying eagle, the premiership-winning hero, is the most excitable and watchable player in the AFL. Anytime this guy is around the ball, flies for the mark, he does something absolutely unbelievable. He could take Mark of the Century and took Mark of the Year.
He's taken Mark of the Year. probably not Mark of the Century just yet, but pretty good call.
Very well done. We're going to review our grand finalists and Brownlow medalists in a couple of weeks' time. But fair to say, I reckon it was a pass, Mark, boys. I reckon you did all right there with those predictions. Not too bad at all.
Yeah, I tipped Melbourne for the flag, though, and I know that's coming. And that's a black mark, really.
Yeah, that's a big black hole.
Like, it's hard to get over that.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
Just a quick little spell to anyone that complained about the All-Australian team and it not being perfectly balanced like you're playing in a real game. It's not a real team. It's a theoretical team. And, Jay, some of the greatest Victorian teams in the 80s and 90s had Dunstall, Lockett, Ablett, Gary Lyon, Barry Stoneham, all in the same team, and they loved the playing together. Yep. So
it's not a real team.
It's not a real team. Yep. So it doesn't matter if you don't have wings and how many two rucks and et cetera. So give me a spell. Sorry, I had to get that off my chest.
Oh,
that's
like
good, mate.
Now, Chris Johnson, normally love them. Man, but just having a look at his rising star voting the other day, and or yesterday, in fact, I did it this morning, and he went for Connor Rosie, only one vote, Richmond's Liam Baker, two votes. Now, Connor Rosie, how did you only give him one vote? Now, clearly Sam Walsh, five, and then Connor Rosie, four, Sydney Stack, three, but Chris Johnson, not a lot of love for the Port Adelaide Speeds. It's just a one vote. Give me a spell, Jono.
My quick give me a spell is for people who don't want to see Steve Smith back captaining the side sooner than he should return in March because I think that...
We need him. He has
we need play. Him. He needs to captain. We need to get Steve Smith back with that cap on, don't you reckon, boys?
Spot on. Agree. Yeah. Good call.
The Dead Set Legend of the Week.
And a champion becomes a legend.
Got my own little breaking news, Jay.
Yep.
Cade Simpson has just re-signed for the Blues to go on again next year. So he's our dead set legend of the week. 35 years old.
Wow.
325 games. He's going around again. I'm glad because he's been through all the negatives with the Blues and the bad times. Now he can start to reap the rewards and hang in there and hopefully play some finals.
Pick one results. Emphatic 82% Dylan Grimes over Nick Vlosten. Who'd you go, Joey?
I'm a massive Vlosten fan. Oh. I would have chosen Vlosten.
Ooh, I like it. Thanks for joining us, boys. Finals 5 sleeps away. We'll be back again to do it all next week on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.